In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. At the end of the epistle to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul has some very important things to say to us. So let's just listen to what he says. It is the epistle for tomorrow, actually, which I didn't plan on speaking about. So I wanted to talk about it today. He says, "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh." What he's talking about here is that there were those who wished to have Gentiles be circumcised because they wanted them to abide by the Jewish law. Well, the law was fulfilled by and superseded by Christ. And we know now that we are not responsible for fulfilling the dietary rules of the Jewish law, nor circumcision. And especially circumcision, because circumcision is a type. It points towards baptism. And whenever there is something that is pointing towards a reality, when the reality happens, you don't need the thing that points to it anymore. So circumcision had its time, and it had its place, and it is no longer necessary. In fact, really not even recommended. Certainly not recommended to be a religious symbol anymore. It really doesn't matter if it's done, if a person has preference or medical reasons, but it does matter if it's done in order to supposedly fulfill the law, because it is no longer a requirement for those who believe in God. And he goes on to say, to show what the problem is about these people that were Judaizers, that were trying to make the Gentiles obey the Jewish law. "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." St. John Chrysostom tells us what it is to glory in the cross of Christ. He says that Christ for my sake took on him the form of a slave, and through his sufferings for me, that Christ for my sake took on him the form of a slave and bore his sufferings for me, the slave, the enemy, the unfeeling one. Yea, he loved me as to give himself up as a curse for me. And then St. John goes on to say, this, if we believe it, if we know it, if we remember it, it is the greatest thing. And it should be the kind of thing that makes us glory, that makes us motivated. If our Lord would do this for us, then there is nothing that we should not do for him. That is the meaning of glorying in the cross, to recognize the great sacrifice and the great healing that the Lord did on the cross, and then to desire to show gratitude for that. Now, he also mentions that the world is crucified to me and I to the world. There's two deaths there. Okay? Two things are dying. The world being crucified unto me means that the world is, all the things in the world are useless. The pomp, the pride, the glory, the wealth, the ambition, the searching after and seeking sensual satisfaction and entertainment and all the rest. It's all worthless and it all should die. And in comparison to the cross, it means nothing. However, we must be crucified unto the world, because the world means nothing in terms now that the cross has been raised and our Lord was on it and caused our resurrection and our healing through it. So the world means nothing, but it means a whole lot if you make it mean a lot. So, at least it appears to mean a lot to those that value it. Of course, it never means anything. And so, we must be crucified unto the world, which means we should have no desire for things of the world. When we read this, it's very poetic language, so maybe it's not as direct as it as some of the things the fathers say. But the meaning is clear. Do we find ourselves being crucified to the world, or do we value our pride? Do we value our comfort? Do we value our wealth? Do we value things that are going to go away? Everybody should ask that question when they read this. And remember, every time you read the Scripture, it should be personal. So the question that we should have in our minds when we read this, are we crucified to the world? A true Christian would say, no, not enough. Even the greatest of the Holy Fathers thought that they had not done enough. So you must do things to cause yourself to be crucified to the world. And that is by prayer, and by fasting, and by struggling. When you start to have knowledge of God, then the things of the world are put in their place. They're put in the proper perspective as things that are sometimes necessary for the temporary sustenance of the body, but are completely temporal and ultimately without meaning. The only thing that has meaning is what we do in Christ and what we do, as it were, on the cross, since we're, of course, supposed to ascend our cross as well. And then he says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Of course, circumcision, as I said, was the type of baptism and was a symbol of being a Jew. And the Apostle Paul says, it doesn't matter if you're circumcised or not. What matters is, are you a new creature? Of course, the new creature is born when baptism is performed. But if we're born as a new creature but we don't act like one, we will revert to the old ways. We will be as the dog that returns to his own vomit. And we will be as the man who had the demons cast out of the demon cast out of him, but didn't do anything good. And then seven more demons worse than the first came and took up their abode in him. So we also should read this scripture thinking, am I acting like a new creature? A new creature would not get angry if someone slanders them. A new creature would not feel constrained to always justify themselves. A new creature would not dislike people. Because let's face it, let's be honest. When we dislike somebody, there is some element of not loving them. Now perhaps you don't like, you know, high singing voices or something, and you're capable of not liking them but still loving people. But for the most part, if we say we don't like a person, especially if something about their personality irks us, let's be honest, we're not loving them on some level. So, the Apostle Paul tells thus then, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Some people have taken this to mean that he had stigmata. The fathers don't say that. You should bear in your body the marks of the Lord Jesus. These marks are not ones that are physical. They are spiritual. You should give your body up for the Lord Jesus. And so, may God help us to be new creatures. May God help us to glory in the cross. And that is to realize and recognize and remember what the Lord has done and to live according to that memory. To glory in the cross is an act of memory and of the will. You must choose to do this. And it's not a one-time choice. Because in anything that matters, we don't make one-time choices. Many of us here are married. Do you make a one-time choice to love your spouse? No, it's a daily choice. Sometimes it's an hour-by-hour, minute-by-minute choice. And sometimes it's not an easy choice. But you always make it. Same thing with choosing to be crucified to the world. It is an act of the will, of memory, remembering what the Lord has done, and of the will. So may God grant us the strength to have the will to crucify ourselves to the world. Because the world has already been crucified to the cross. It's already dead. Why should we love dead things? God is the God of the living, not of the dead. May God help us in this endeavor. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through His grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and under the ages of ages.